He's not against unions, but he's for the right kind of union. He was a vicious anti-Semite. I don't mean he whispered it. I mean on the radio, national hookup. You comrades can ask your folks about Coughlin. National hookup. Every Sunday afternoon for an hour, 2 hours, denounced the Jews as the ones that financed the Russian Bolshevik Revolution. Jewish bankers financed it. He printed these charges in his newspaper called Social Justice. I don't mean he put it on the back page down the left-hand corner once. No, I mean he put it on the headline time and time again. He organized what he called the Christian Front. These were the stormtroopers of fascism. In New York City, their main strength, naturally, was the cops and the firemen. Irishes, what would you expect from them? Ignorant, completely backward, living in the days of the clans in Ireland, oh God Almighty. Had Christian fronters here in Boston, but didn't ever got to first base. But in New York City, they were a real force. All you had to do was go to New York City and try to speak on the street corner and find out. We had comrades on the fire force in New York City. They lived the life of hell because the vast majority of the firemen belonged to the Christian Front. They had their parades. They openly demonstrated in parades under the banner of the Christian Front. On the radio and in his newspaper, he praised Hitler and he praised Mussolini. Now you're going to tell me, well, the Catholic Church didn't sponsor him. Oh no, of course not. Well, they didn't send him to China to convert the Chinese, did they, huh? But they sent Father Bethergen down to, I don't know what the hell, he's going to convict the Incas, I guess. That's how they get rid of these troublemakers. They send them to Tanganyika to look for Alex McGowan and find out if Alex is, not Alex, but Felix McGowan, find out how he's making out down there. Now, most of you, a lot of you folks, know who the favorite son of the Roman Catholic Church was in 1948, 49, 50, 53, and 4, until he drank himself to death. You know, the bribe taker from Wisconsin, Senator McCarty. Wasn't he the hero of the Roman Catholic Church? This scoundrel that caused thousands and thousands of American working men to lose their jobs. We had comrades in the General Electric plant here in Lynn that lost their jobs because of McCarthy. But we were only a small political movement. The Communist Party was wiped out, you might say. And the Automobile Union and in other various unions by McCarthy. He was their hero. It was during this period when the Roman Catholic Church went into ecstasy over the victories of Franco. While Franco was executing hundreds and hundreds of rank and file Spanish priests. There was no protest from the hierarchy of the Catholic Church against Franco executing these priests, recognizing the terrible injustice of feudalism in Spain, sided with the People's Front in its fight against Franco. And they sided with the peasantry in seizing the property, the so-called property of the landlords and the nobility, and dividing it up among themselves. So let the Catholics answer that little puzzle. If there's anybody of Irish extraction running loose around here tonight, I would recommend to them that they read a little pamphlet, a book, written by one of the great heroes of the Irish Revolutionary Movement. James Connolly, founder of the Irish Socialist Party, who received his education in Marxism in the United States, a member of the IWW. From 1907 to 1912, went back to Ireland and organized the Irish Socialist Party, was a co-leader of the great Dublin General Strike of 1912, along with Jim Larkin, and out of the General Strike organized what we call the Workers' Defense Guard in 1912. And he didn't dissolve them after the strike, but instead of that created a permanent nucleus of a revolutionary army in Ireland, a socialist nucleus, called the Citizens' Army. Took part in the Easter Rebellion. They had they had several articles in the newspapers in Boston here because of the big Irish population, the extraction of Irish, the sons and daughters of Irish immigrants. And they play up Patrick Pearse. And they play up Dave Valera. Hey, where's Connolly's name? Of course they don't publicize Connolly or his role in the rebellion of 1916. But when they were going to the fight, Connolly made the statement, "We're going to our slaughter." He knew it. But he thought that a tradition would be created that would inspire the future generations to struggle for Irish independence. Well, this great man was a Roman Catholic. He was a Roman Catholic and a socialist. How he squared the circle, I don't know. That's up to him to answer. Unfortunately, he isn't around. He was executed after the rebellion. He wrote a book called Labor in Irish History. Labor, Religion, and Nationality in Irish History. And in this history, he produces the record of one Catholic priest after another, taken from the archives of the British government at the British Museum in London. This priest, one after the other, living on secret pensions by the British government. Why? Because they turned in the names of the individuals that were active in different revolutionary movements in Ireland. They'd get the poor young Irishman into the confessional and they'd pump him of all the information they wanted and then turn it over to the British authorities. These fine, upstanding Roman Catholic priests. Jesus, they should be horsewhipped. Connolly produces the record, one after the other. Anybody questions that, just run down the library and get a copy of James Connolly, Labor, Religion, and Nationality in Irish History. By a truly great Irisher, and there's few of them. They've got to prove themselves in history. I'm Irish extraction myself, I know the record of them. They've been the backbone of reaction in every great struggle in Europe. They've been the backbone of reaction in every great struggle in the United States. That can't be disproved. Facts are stubborn things. That's what Lenin said. Now there's a sudden change. The wind has changed in the last 4 or 5 years. Why? Did the gods wise them up? Did the Pope, as a God's agent, have a power with God? Like Anatole France describes in Penguin Island? Did he get on the pipeline? He has a private pipeline to God, you know. He can't make a mistake. Are the last couple of popes smarter than the other popes and they realize that something had to be done? No. If you try to search for some kind of an idealistic reason, you'll just search in vain. Material conditions again. Material conditions demand that the Catholic Church change its line, just as the Communist Party and Communist International, or the remnants of that despicable organization, had to change its line. So also the bureaucrats of the Catholic Church have changed their line. The international working class is on the march. The march towards socialism. Been on the march since 1917. Marching from one victory to another. It's indisputable. If you don't believe me, ask me what happened in Cuba, tiny little island, 90 miles from home. Thumb their nose at American capitalism, the most powerful country in the world, took their property and said, "We're in business now, not you people. No more capitalist property in our country. We're running this for the benefit of all of us Cubans, not just for a few of them that live here and spend their lifetime over in France and in New York City." And what are they fooling around in Vietnam for? Isn't it the same reason? To suppress the socialist revolution? What are they butting to San Domingo for? Well, things are catching up. The church is learning a lesson. Or the capitalist masters have told them to live in the 20th century, or else we'll all go down together. So the ideology and the approach of the Catholic Church to the masses of people has to be changed. It has to be updated. Gone are the days of the threats of hell and magic and so forth, as far as controlling the great masses of people are concerned. Holy water doesn't catch any more ice today. Doesn't catch any more fervor. Doesn't catch any more flies. Those days are gone. When I was a young boy, during an electrical storm, my mother, just the same as all Roman Catholics, would close the blinds, you know, and then go around the house, throw holy water in the different rooms. Keep the lightning from striking the house, I guess. It was a hangover from the terrible ignorance and the superstition that these people had hoisted on into the minds of the uneducated, backward Roman Catholic rank and file. Today, no more of that nonsense. No more they soft peddle the miracle stuff. Oh, I could go into some of that. Now, if capitalism is to be saved, all must rally to its defense, or else it'll go down. Unity is on the order of the day. And the Catholic Church has changed its mind just as rapidly as some of the Southern politicians have changed their minds about the Negro. Some of them have discovered that the Negro is a human being. Why, even Talmadge from Georgia has discovered, just as the Holy Father recognizes that the Jews and Protestants are human beings, Talmadge of Georgia now recognizes that the Negro is a human being. At least that's what he said January 9th this year. No, 1965 in the Boston Globe. Now, the Catholic Church loves the colonial people. Everybody knows that. They love the poor and the unfortunate. And they're their protectors. And to prove that, haven't they created a Negro cardinal in Africa? Haven't they created a Negro bishop in the United States? Only in the last 4 or 5 years. Well, why didn't you do it before? In Latin America, I told you how they're trying to help the peasantry and the working people by organizing the Christian Democratic Party. And their heart just bleeds for the suffering of the poor, undernourished people in Latin America, particularly the little babies and children that are starving to death and dying of malnutrition, as Felix McGowan told us on this platform a couple of months ago. And while they're putting on this front of crying for the welfare of the Latin American people, they're sending 1,000 Spanish-speaking priests from the United States into San Domingo. Didn't Felix McGowan tell us about that? How down underneath the board, the United States government got in touch with the hierarchy of the Roman Catholic Church here in the United States and asked them, can you send 1,000 Spanish-speaking priests down to San Domingo? They didn't send them down there to talk socialism. Oh, what scoundrels. Say one thing and do another. Isn't that the way every bureaucracy does? Don't the American Federation trade union leaders in this country, CIO leaders, all yak about democracy? Well, just go to their union meetings and raise hell and see how far you'll get on democracy. They'll give you a taste of democracy. And the Communist Party yak about democracy until it gets a majority, doesn't it? Does the Roman Catholic Church stand for public schools as long as they're in a minority? But when they're in a majority, do they stand for public schools? Oh yes, like in Spain. No, they're masters of duplicity. Say one thing and do another. They're going down to San Domingo with the hopes of sidetracking the socialist revolution, which is on the agenda down there. Nevertheless, it is the only force that can save capitalism and imperialism in Latin America. In the United States, they have created an organization called the American Catholic Trade Unionists, ACTU. They operate in the United Automobile Workers Union, where they ganged up with Walter Reuther to drive the communists out of the union. Right here at home, we don't have to go to Detroit, right here at home in Lynn, Massachusetts. Several years ago, they organized the Roman Catholic workers in those plants of the General Electric Company to drive the communists out of control of the local. Matter of fact, who can deny it? It was in the newspapers. The priest talked right on the pulpit and urged their members in voting in the elections to vote against the Communist Party. What right do they get to butt into to the economic affairs of the workers? Anywhere and everywhere, wherever there is a progressive section in a trade union, there you will find the American Catholic Trade Unionists lined up 100% against the militants in that union. That goes from coast to coast. They suddenly have schools, labor schools in the United States. Imagine these pack of scoundrels who never did a day's work in their life. Didn't do a day's work in their life. They're teaching you and me how we should act in the trade union. There's gall for you, huh? I ought to open up a school. How priests should act. Hey, that'd be a good racket, huh? Oh, boy. Don't chase the widows in the parish, either. In Massachusetts here, they have 19 labor schools. Not one, not two, 19 labor schools. And so it happens that I work in the print shop that prints the propaganda for these labor schools, Catholic trade unions. Just think of you and I going to work every day, and this monkey tells us, hey, come on down and I'll teach you all about the trade unions. There's gall, oh brother. Now, not only that, when there is any kind of a fight in the union, the priest, organize and direct the American Catholic Trade Unionists in that union and in that fight. That's incontestable. Now they're going to put on a new look in the United States and on the world, the whole world outlook. What's the new look? Well, the Protestants really aren't too bad. We were a little wrong too, you know. What do you mean the Catholic Church was wrong a little? This is God's church. It's guided by God. The Pope can't make a mistake. How could the church ever have been wrong in dealing with the Protestants? Just because they butchered a few hundred thousand? Well, you know, we all make mistakes sometimes. But the Protestants deserved it. They revolted against God. That's what I was taught when I was a kid. But they discovered that they were a little wrong too. So they say, let's sit down and discuss unity. Well, that's nice. One fine day, I pick up the paper, and the Holy Father sends a letter or a telegram or something to the head of the Greek Orthodox Church and says, well, I tell you what, old top, I think we're a little wrong in kicking you boys out. The next day, the Holy Father, whatever he is of the Greek Church, sends a letter to him and says, yeah, I agree. I guess we made a mistake, too. We shouldn't have walked out. No. You read in the newspapers, 1956, Stalin is a great genius. He loves the working people in Russia. He cries himself to sleep at night about the poor little children. He dies. Next day, they announce he's a scoundrel. So, if you want a good belly laugh, read some of the nonsense that the Communist Party used to pump out then, and then sit down and read some of the nonsense of the Roman Catholic Church today. Another suggestion, Ecumenical Congress in Rome decides, that'd be a good idea if we swapped preachers. Now, when I was a boy, you couldn't go to a Protestant church, because that was a fake church. set up by people that revolted against God. Now they discovered that it'd be a good idea if we had powwows together. You send your minister over to my church, and I'll go to your church and preach. Isn't that right? Every day you pick up the paper and you read how the Catholic Church priests are running around here to the synagogue, to the Masons. Imagine those Masons. Woo-hoo! And then to the Protestant churches, talking, explaining how we all made mistakes. I don't see how it can be possible, because I was taught the Holy Mother of the Church never makes a mistake. It's okay to eat meat on Friday. Paul was in work, said to me, I thought those were God-made laws. women say to my wife at her work, I thought those were God-made laws. Well, you can imagine how this is going to react on the great masses of rank and file of the Catholic Church. Now, birth control. We got to oppose birth control because it's against God's laws. Remember how the Catholic Church, the Archbishop or the Cardinal in Boston used to mobilize all these parasites in the Massachusetts legislature, these little marionettes, and tell them, hey, monkey, it's okay to take all your bribes you want. It's okay with us. But don't forget, vote against birth control. Vote against birth control legislation. All of a sudden, they say, well, you know, people, a minority, we don't want to interfere with the rights of Protestants to do what they want to do. We stand for democracy. So that's their baloney today. We don't impose our ideology on other people. Of course we don't. We're broad-minded people. So they're hemming and hawing about birth control, but material conditions have decided that too. The Catholic women and Catholic men, married couples, have decided that they will do something about it. So the Catholic Church is catching up. All research that has been done on this subject proves that. So the question is, when they talk about they don't want to impose their ideology on other people, the question is, who's kidding who around here? No more Roman index. Hey, you can read Count Tolstoy now. Imagine this Christian, this great Christian, this man that believed in Christianity 100%, often been called the first Christian since Christ, because he did preach Christianity according to the teachings of the early Christians. He was outlawed by the Catholic Church, and they were forbidden to read it. Well, now you can read anything. There's no more index. That is, on the surface. Marriage by non-Catholic clergymen. It isn't very good, but we don't excommunicate you now if you do that. Why, that used to be a horrible sin when I was a boy. Divorce is okay. It's okay. Not among ourselves, but if Protestants or Jewish people want it, it's okay. We shouldn't interfere with it. That's the way they show you how broad-minded they are. We don't force our viewpoint on anybody. And they just discovered something else, that the Jews didn't crucify Christ. Geez, I read a couple of history books. I always thought the Romans did. You mean they've been deceiving their rank and file all these years by telling the Jews did it? No, it was the Romans that did it. Christ was a rebel. Judea, or Palestine, whatever the devil they call it, Judea, was only a colony of Rome. Now, we come down to the local situation, where Mr. Cushing reigned supreme. Now, the new look also included the fact that our seminarians, our young men that are studying to become priests, have got to be broad-minded, you know, and like just like the Mother of the Church itself, you know, very broad-minded. And they should go to Protestant seminaries, and I suppose Jewish rabbi schools, whatever the hell they have, and they should, learn a few things there, and the Jewish seminarians and the Protestant seminarians can come to our places, and, you know, we just swap students. And also, the seminarians should take courses in public colleges, you know, so they get a broad outline, a broad outlook of the world. Well, that sounds very nice. Except don't do it. And that's what happened out in Brighton, Mass. Here. Wasn't that the basis of the revolt? Sure. And Cushing, who was a great Democrat, just kicked them out, that's all. Over in St. John's University in New York City, the biggest Catholic college in the United States, a strike led by the Roman Catholic priest, Father Riley, was defeated, but nevertheless, the dirt was let out of, the cat was let out of the bag about the domination of the Roman Catholic ideology over the whole student body, where one priest says that we have been taught to, what we radicals call, to fix the minds of the students, the head-fixing industry, as the radicals call it. And they rebelled against it. They rebelled against the curriculum and the pay, of course. Now, on January 8, 1965, the Holy Father himself showed how what a peace-loving man he was, and he said that he was for peace by any and all means, even beyond usual protocol. Now, you've seen how they carried that out. You've seen the immense announcements and the harangues by the Roman Catholic Church urging their membership to march on Washington and join the anti-war demonstrations, didn't you? You saw them down on the Boston Common under the shadow of Channing, Ellery Channing, the great liberal minister of Boston. You saw the Roman Catholic kids down there, didn't you, at the demonstration, pelting the demonstrators. That's where they were. You didn't read about any Roman Catholic pastor or priest or Cushing denouncing them. No, they'll say one thing but do another. Their announcements aren't worth the hot air it takes to say them. Here's what they say about Vietnam. This is what that bulldog Spellman in New York says. This year I want to show to what my loyalty is doing, to show my loyalty to what my country is doing for peace. You, he's over in Vietnam, you United States troops in Vietnam are here in the interest of peace, but not peace obtained by surrender. He's not a blood-curdling so-and-so, is he? Our country has been criticized, but in this situation in Vietnam, our country, in my opinion, is right by every test that I know. This is from the newsletter. The only letter, the only paper in the anti-war movement whose slogan is, withdraw the troops now, not tomorrow. So you see, the church, while talking about peace, does another thing. Here's a little fact. It was in the New York Times. What is it about? When they had a troublemaker over in New York, Father Berrigan, Daniel Berrigan. There's two brothers that are Jesuits. The Catholic clergy, leading Catholic laymen, students by the dozens, by the hundreds, paid and got some dough together and put this ad in the New York Times calling Spellman just about what he was, a dirty pig, and demanding that Berrigan be brought back to New York City instead of being exiled to Latin America. Or as Sean O'Casey called him, Spielman. Now, these social reforms are purely for the record. Nothing else. Nothing else. The proof of it is the actions of the bishops and the cardinals, whatever you wish to call them, in Milwaukee, in Los Angeles. Wasn't the Bishop McIntyre in Los Angeles warned time and time again about the situation in what? Everything's hunky-dory. What do you mean hunky-dory? He was still wearing his silk dresses and his silk vestments and his gold rings. That meant everything was hunky-dory. Didn't the bishop up in Albany, New York, say everything was